If you've ever seen the Scout boats, that brand of boat in particular, oh my God. Like I would, you know how Mike Ryan would make love to a mountain melt? I would stick a body part inside of a Scout boat if it meant producing another Scout boat for me.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
I want to get serious here and begin this podcast by defending my own honor.
Wow.
In last week's podcast, I claimed 7 perfect hits in my mock draft, NFL mock draft, and you all both implied and pretty much said that I was lying, that I only had 6.
Yeah.
So I want to do a quick parade here. Number one, Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville.
Oh, my God.
Zagacto.
I don't want you going through all of these, all right? We get it. You had 7.
There's only 7. It's my podcast. Number 2, Zach Wilson to New York Jets. Zagacto. Number 3, really? Kyle Pitts to Atlanta. Zagacto.
Really went on a limb with those 3.
Number 4, Rashawn Slater to L.A. Chargers. Zagacto. Number 5, Christian Darrisaw to Minnesota. Zagacto. Number 6, Najee Harris to Pittsburgh. Zagacto. And number 7, I love this one because Kuiper and what's his name? Who's the other guy?
McShay,
because he kicked Kuiper's ass. Kuiper and McShay did not even have this guy in the first round, and I hit it right on the button. Number 7, Gregory Rousseau to Buffalo. Zagacto. How about that?
That was a good Zagacto.
Yeah, it was. I have to admit, that little bit you just did was good because you punctuated each one with Zagacto.
Okay. I mean, you know, you heard me a little bit last week. I'm going to be honest. But
I'm glad that you have this outlet when you need to be honest sometimes, when you just have to let something off your chest.
Thank you. By the way, it's the Greg Cody Show, and I'm accompanied, as always, by producers extraordinaire Chris Cody and Yeti Blanc. Thank you all for joining me.
Glad to be here, Greg.
Just bring the show to a screeching halt and not do anything seamless.
That's all we've got, folks. Have a good night.
Yeah, good night, everybody. Drive safely. The audience knows I'm here for you all. I really appreciate you all. You know that. I'm talking about my Miami Herald faithful, my Levitard Show audience, and newcomers. Those of you who aren't Herald readers and aren't necessarily Levitard Show fans, but have happened upon this podcast and followed us faithfully. Appreciate you all as well. And we have a special guest, Izzy Gutierrez, the ESPN star, is on our podcast today. And I wanted to talk NBA, oddly enough, because he's an expert. And we did. We talked a lot of NBA, but we veered off wildly into several other fun conversations about sneakers and dinner dates and all that. So let's enjoy that, shall we? I want to ask you about your background right now, because I'm so used to seeing on Zoom and on new shows and everything else, I'm used to seeing the classic impressive-looking bookcase in the background. I'm not used to seeing a Spartan background.
So I started off, and that's in the studio that's in the bedroom. So there's double magic happening over there now. It started off as I think it might have been a gym the first time, and I think it was like a snow town, like a ski town, and then there was a golf course one time, and then I just told our producer to just find, I think I told him like a college campus, and instead he just found some like stuffy library, and then just decided to throw that in the background. We should change it a little bit more. I don't know why I don't have more fun with that thing, but
I want like a sad bookcase. Like I want like something like with like a crumbled up piece of paper, maybe like a McDonald's cup.
That's a good idea, actually. Just have them the most pathetic background from segment to segment, Shane. I think we might take that.
Do the Woody Page thing, but instead of a phrase, sadness.
The problem is I don't think we can create like our own backdrop. I think you just have to Google stuff.
Yeah, that's actually, it's a good business opportunity right there.
Well, actually, what we had one time was this, I think the Telluride ski resort, and a couple of people like started sending emails like, hey, I've been there, I didn't know you were there, where are you? I was like, no, you gotta change this. This is creating way too much interaction between me and fans, because I left my email address on my Instagram and now there's nothing I can do about that.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's in my bio on my Instagram, and so I'll randomly get people emailing me like, sometimes it's like sob stories. Sometimes it's just at pieces of advice for their 9-year-old son who seems like they have a future in journalism, which I don't know how you can tell at 9 years old.
Right.
But yeah. So then I realized that it's just people who see my Instagram and say, hey, I wonder if this is his real email. And I probably shouldn't say this here because you have so many followers and listeners, but
so many.
I just pretend like, you know, it's one of those email addresses that people just put on there. And, you know, don't actually answer. So if I don't actually answer, then they don't know that I saw it and ignored it.
I did the same thing.
Damn it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking with Israel Gutierrez, whose voice you know well from ESPN and from ABC Sidelines. Or is it Sidelines or Courtsides at NBA?
Well, you know what? It hasn't been sidelined for over a year now. We're basically in the stand. So they should just call it in the arena reporting.
Right, that's true.
Doesn't sound as cool, though.
That's true. And Izzy, you're all over what? Highly Questionable and Around the Horn are like the two main gigs, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And then a little bit of Outside the Lines every once in a while.
Well, OTL.
Yeah, OTL action, which is funny because I do parting shots for them. And then, you know, they'll send you an email and say, hey, you should post this on Twitter. And I'm not on Twitter anymore. So I'm pretty sure this is going nowhere. Nobody's really seeing this.
Did you hear what Jimmy Butler said? He had an exchange after a game a couple of days ago with Ira Winderman of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And Jimmy says, Ira asked him about the closing schedule, which is sort of tough. Hey, are you concerned that the closing schedule is tough? And Jimmy says, maybe if your sorry ass was on our team, it'd be tough. We'll be fine. And, you know, Jimmy Butler has this sunshine personality. He's got a great smile. He's the kind of guy who, no matter what he says, everybody wants to sort of chuckle. And everybody did chuckle. But I'm wondering if...
Did Ira chuckle?
What's that?
Did Ira chuckle?
Well, I wasn't there to see him, but it did not become a controversy, is my point. And if somebody who's not media friendly, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, if somebody like that says that exact same thing to a reporter, I wonder if it becomes almost a national controversy for a day.
I wonder if it's maybe the reporter that he said it about that everybody's okay with. Because look, I can't confirm that I was a sorry ass basketball player, but the one time that we did play, oh man, this was a great little 3-on-3 action we had. It was me, Ira Winderman, Eric Reed, Joe Rose, Goldie Goldstein, and man, I forget who the sixth person was.
Man, these are a lot of names you're dropping.
Right? Pick them up. And so we started playing, but I think it was Eric Reed who just hustled a little bit too hard and dove into a bench, like on the side of the basketball court, which is absolutely useless. A bench, a metal bench in between two basketball courts. Like, and so Ira had to go take him to, I guess, urgent care or the hospital or something so he could take care of his arm, his shoulder. So then it was just me. Man, I'm missing somebody. Whoever it is probably going to get mad at me. But it's me, whoever this person is, Goldstein and Joe Rose. And Joe has a nickname for me. He calls me Fadeaway. And it's just from this one day where me, 5'10 Gutierrez, was posting up whatever he is, 6'4 Joe Rose. And my fadeaways were so like deep and angled that he couldn't get a block up on. I couldn't block him. And I was just basically, you know, having a day. And I don't think that Ira Winderman's presence would have made any difference. So in that respect, I believe that Jimmy Butler is just speaking facts and enough people know that that's the case. So I don't think it was offensive. I don't think it was a big deal because Ira Winderman probably is a sorry ass at basketball. And I don't think he would argue with that.
It's the third time I've hurt my shoulder, the second time in the last 2 years.
That's not bad.
Is that what's happening now? You've got to pick up the impressions because your dad can't hit the notes anymore.
That's absolutely true. That is really true.
Kaboom!
And by the way, for those who don't know, Joe Rose is a former Miami Dolphins tight end. And yes, he's a big fella.
Bella.
That's right. Izzy, I want to ask you, the Hall of Fame vote is coming up late this week, the 16th, I think. Chris Bosh is a first-time Hall of Famer. Is he automatic?
Say no. Make news.
Well, so here's, I'm going to make a little bit of news by saying I don't really know the percentage that's required for him to get in. Like, I don't actually know the number, but I think there's enough momentum where it just seems like if you look at the numbers, you look at championships, you look at sort of how people view title teams that have like long runs in retrospect, they just sort of give them a little bit more respect. And like I don't know why I'm sticking on this, but like I was looking back at some old Dennis Rodman stats, and like Dennis Rodman made his first All-Star game and he was averaging like 8 points and 9 rebounds. And that was before they'd won a championship. And so there was like this respect on what that that guy did for that team and that level of team, that championship level team. And I think with Chris, not only because he had that basically 7-year platform where he was like, all right, look what I can do by myself, but it was made very clear by everybody here. Chris is, and Spoelstra would say this all the time, the most important piece that we have, because he balances you out. He gives you everything that you don't always see on the stat sheet. And then if you just look at the way analytics are and basketball statistics are looked at now, I think that also bodes well for Chris. So I think it's, you know, given, even despite the fact, I don't think people are cutting him slack for his career being cut short, because you can't do that, right? Like Brandon Roy would probably be an automatic Hall of Famer if you just say, hey, if his knee was good, he'd be in the Hall. So you can't cut him slack for that. But I think even without that, he had a long enough career. He had the championships. He had some international, the Redeem Team performance. So I think it's pretty automatic at this point.
Do you regularly just peruse the internet looking at random player stats? Like, do you, like later on today, you might just start looking at Marcus
Camby stats. It happens sometimes, because you're doing some research and stuff. Like I was looking, I think it was Clint Capella. It was, for some reason, I was looking at his numbers. I was like, man, this guy's stealing. He's leading the league in rebounds. And I'm like, comparably speaking, if you throw this guy in the 80s or 90s, he'd be not like he'd be a superstar. Like he'd be a guy that they would build a franchise around. So I started just looking at like old school comparable big men, and it sort of took me down this little rabbit hole. And then I got to Dennis Rodman.
I've worked with Stugatz too long. People actually do prep out there, and people actually like study stuff. That's interesting.
But sometimes like you just kind of go by the rabbit hole to find something interesting and then drop that nugget on TV. But
love a good rabbit hole. Love a good YouTube rabbit hole, stat rabbit hole.
The YouTube rabbit holes are a little bit much for me because they're longer. You get some ads sometimes. I mean, I don't know anybody that has YouTube Premium or Red. What is it?
Nah, get out of here.
No, Red Tube, something totally different. Sorry.
Hey, man.
And so, I don't go into the YouTube ones. And plus, I think those are the ones that can get a little dangerous. Like, I think the YouTube rabbit hole is the ones where, you know, got Kyrie Irving into being a flat earther.
What's the difference between a rabbit hole and a black hole? Because the expression used to be, man, I really fell through a black hole. I started looking up, top 10 hits of the 1980s. And the next thing you know, I'm doing it for an hour on the internet. Is black hole the same thing as rabbit hole when it comes to?
I've never heard black hole. I didn't know.
Well,
that
when did Alice in Wonderland come out? Because I guess that's the reference, right? The rabbit hole from Alice in Wonderland. So maybe that's what it was. And I don't know if like right when it came out, people were just using that phrase, but I think it just popularized itself lately.
Help me figure out this year's Heat, because, they reached the finals last year. And now, despite a couple of all-star caliber players, they're struggling to avoid that play-in. They're struggling to finish in the top six. What's gone wrong? I know they've had injuries, but why is this year's Heat team less than last year's was?
They can't shoot.
I don't think it's just that they can't shoot. First of all, I think there's just been like a lot of inconsistencies in the season and the personnel. It's just, and I think the main most important one being Jimmy not being like, if he's not there from one game to the next, and his absences outside of that extended COVID one have been kind of random, you know, an ankle turn, he'll play through, and then like a couple games after that, we'll miss again. And I think, you know, but nobody's fault whatsoever. But I think the idea of just being in and out when it's that guy, particularly the sort of center of your offense and the guy that sort of calms everything down, I think that's a factor. Tyler Hero being in and out, Gordon Dragic being in and out, you don't get that consistency. And that's frankly what they did last year when they got to the ball. They started the season off really well, were in a rhythm right off the bat, and then ended the season really well with health and in a proper rhythm. And I think they've never been in that place for an extended time here yet. And it's kind of like, it's not really much different than a lot of these teams. Like outside of, I'm trying to think of the teams that aren't saying to themselves, we have to sort of turn it on in the playoffs because they've already seen what they can do. Philly is one you could probably say, yeah, they've shown us what they can do in the playoffs. Milwaukee, probably, even though they had that one stretch without Giannis, but I'm just sticking to the East here. Brooklyn, you know, you got to see it in the playoffs. You have no idea how good they're going to be. I think Miami's in that place. You go to the West, Western Conference, the Lakers are certainly there. I think Denver's probably there too, because they're, you know, just adjusting to without Jamal Murray. Phoenix, I don't think anybody says, hey, we know what they can do in the playoffs. So I think for Miami, just like a lot of these other teams, they've got to be able to turn that gear in the playoffs. And I think if now this is the measuring stick that I don't think anybody can figure out, obviously predict, but if they're healthy, then they can probably find a really good balance. I think Dwayne Dedmon's been a really good pickup, just giving him extra toughness and size. And then you just need that shooting from Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero and Goran Dragic in particular. And I think with Dragic, as long as he's healthy on the floor, you can trust his shooting's going to be there. With Duncan, you just don't know this year necessarily, but you've got to let him, you know, keep going. And with Tyler, he's that guy that you just got to bring off the bench and let him go. And there's going to be a game where he'll give you 25 and look great. And there's going to be a game where he'll give you 7 on 10 shots and like 4 turnovers. And so you just got to make up for those. But I think if they can get to that point again, they can be a threat to a team like Milwaukee. They can be a threat to Brooklyn for sure. I think Philly might have their number, but if they're healthy, I think you're probably going to see like the team that we're used to. But man, it also kind of feels like a disappointing year after that one year where they ended the season really strong. And the next year you think, all right, let's continue that way. And they never got to that point. So it could be just one long tease of a season and maybe they're out in the first round.
Does Dwayne Dedmon look more like my age or my dad's age?
Oh man, he looks like Greg Oden's cousin. Like he's, yes. It looks like he has lived, and a lot of that living has been like in a garage somewhere. Like he has just a mechanic's garage. He's just a tough MF-er. I remember thinking like they're gonna have to calm this dude down. Like I remember saying this guy is gonna have to. He can't overtake Jimmy Butler for the baddest MF-er in the room. So just you know, slow it down a little. But you know, I think they like it.
Do you have a most embarrassing moment on a sideline during a live broadcast?
I didn't know it was embarrassing at the time, but you know what? That wasn't a booger. That was a reflection. Never mind. It did look embarrassing when somebody sent a picture and said I had a bat in the cave, when really it was just the light was just shining off of my flaring nose.
Was it though?
Mm-hmm. No, I swear. I examined the, I mean, come on, I would acknowledge if it was a booger, but I sort of zoomed in and I was like, yeah, it was like a reflection of the light inside of my nose. I'll tell you the worst. There was this one time, it was early on, and in my sideline reporting, he was definitely a Rocket. This is what it was. We were still doing halftime interviews. And I think I was talking to James Harden at halftime, and Dwight Howard had like taken a three from the corner and made it. And I forget how I asked it, but I definitely wasn't in like that personal space with James so that he would like get like my sense of humor or the question. But I think I asked something like, Dwight Howard hit a three in that half. Like, how did that make you feel? Kind of like, you know, a little bit of a joke. And I don't know if he took it very well, but I know the audience did it. And so I was just like, yeah, maybe I need to like settle in a little bit more.
You must have been in front of Popovich a couple of times, right?
So yeah, Pop is definitely the largest source of, I guess, bubbling acid in my stomach of anybody in the history of sports, because building up to that interview is god awful. And it's even worse when you get the first quarter interview, because what really happens in the first quarter where you can ask him, you know, two intelligent questions that he of such discerning taste of questions is going to actually answer. The fun part about Pop is that it didn't really develop like this on camera, you know, relationship or whatever, but just we had this understanding and he was cool with me and I was cool with him. And by the time, like, I think last year, 2 years ago, last game we did, he'd just been super pleasant and very he's just very complimentary. And so it actually really bummed me out that I haven't done a game of his in a while. But, you know, next time, hopefully we have a reunion and it won't be so scary.
In terms of, you know, the bubbly acid, like the nervous feeling in your stomach, is Greg Cody Show top 5? Like, ooh, you know, like we're 10, top 15.
It's just off the Mount Ismore.
Nice.
Wow.
Just off.
I like it.
But that's because you make me so comfortable that it doesn't really make
sense. Yeah, exactly. So top 100.
Well, we appreciate that. And in the spirit of total comfort, we're going to veer from basketball. I have to ask you, I just read that Tom Brady spent $6 million on a yacht upgrade for all his Bahamian sojourns. Now, you're a maritimer. You're a boat owner.
A boner.
That's right. I asked Christopher last week, because you guys had gone out on a boat together. And I asked him, what size is Izzy's boat? That's a basic question.
It is. Did he not know?
He had no idea. He couldn't even take a guess. So what size is your boat?
Not something you ask a guy.
Well, Chris, what sort of, if you're like, what range, what would you, what sort of measurement would you think we're talking with the boat?
I would have said like, I would have said 20, 25 feet.
Okay. It's in between 20 and 25 feet.
Oh, look at me. Look
at me. It's a 22 footer. And here's a little hint, a little clue. If you just read like some, like ours is on the name of the boat, it'll say like Explorer, like 220 or 222. It's just the first two numbers. So any model brand, it's like a 3700, it's a 37 footer. So ours, I'll say it right there. So it's a little 22 foot Robalo center console.
Look at you.
Wow.
Owner.
One of my favorite things of being out on the boat with Izzy was watching him look at other boats.
Oh man.
It was downright. There was groans made at times. Like, there was
drool coming out of my mouth. If you've ever seen Greg, and you know, I'll take you out eventually, but if you've ever seen the Scout boats, that brand of boat in particular, oh my god, like I would, you know how Mike Ryan would make love to a mountain mouse? I would stick a body part inside of a Scout boat if it meant producing another Scout boat for me.
I am clipping that audio.
Those things are so nice.
Oh man.
Wow. What's so great about a Scout boat? Like,
he was right though. Like, it was one of those things where he said, he's like, you know what a Scout is? And I'm like, of course I have no clue what it is. I was like, yeah, of course, a Scout. But those things are slick. Those things look really cool.
Yeah, there's like it's the lines on it are sleek. There's the bow flare, the colors. It looks like an expensive rich man's boat. And then in the back, I don't know, there's this particular boat that I love has on the back of it, it has sort of like a sink setup, a live well, and then like a grill right on the back of the like just behind the captain's chair. And it's amazing. Like, if I had that boat, I'm pretty sure like I could just die happy, because I know like I'm good financially if I've got that boat. I think the one that I want is $750,000. And so I know I would be able to die happy.
$750,000. So it's a house. It's like you're driving a house on the water.
It's a really nice house. Yeah. And believe me, I'm nowhere near getting that Scout boat, just so everybody knows.
Well, everybody knows I'm a salt life kind of guy.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Everybody knows this, huh?
Yeah.
You just let your feet out, right? God. And just let everybody see them.
Dad, I would love for you to be put in the driver's seat of a boat and like, go ahead, dock the boat. Like, what are you?
Well,
like?
Actually, I would like to just have Greg on the boat, because, you know, Chris, it requires him to take off a shoe.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants those claws, those talons out for everybody to see.
Oh, it's fine. You kidding really? Me? I'm gonna trim my talons for you though, because I don't want to nick up your the beautiful deck of your boat.
Speaking of shoes, I saw, and I don't know if there was anything on the radio on Levitar show about this, but I saw on Instagram that you had some fire, some red. I think, were they Air Maxes? A little Greg Cody drip action.
Dripping it.
Yeah. Air Max 97s. Juju Gotti bought them for me.
Now you're saying, look, it sounds like a pro.
It was a surprise gift.
All right. So I honestly, your honest opinion, you put them on your feet and you happen to be wearing like a perfect shirt. It matched, you know, had the red in it as well. Like, you can see yourself being a guy who likes shoes. Am I right? Like, I used to be that person who would just say, ignore the shoe game, because really I just couldn't afford it on the Miami Herald salary as a kid. And so I was like, no, ignore shoes. The second I started to be able to afford them and just slip my feet in them, and it's like, wow, these look really nice. You lost me. I was purchasing shoes after shoes. And
shoey,
so my closet's
classic
full.
Shoey.
Classic. Yeah. So tell me that you had that little feeling run through you that's like, man, I could definitely buy some more of these.
I have to admit, they felt really good on my feet. I felt, you know, an inch taller, quite frankly, because they're just, you know, they seem to elevate me. I don't know whether I was imagining that. And I did feel a little bit stylish, which I never feel stylish. That was a different feeling. But my prevailing feeling was self-consciousness. Like, I'm an old guy wearing shoes that should be worn by somebody who's a third of my age or a half of my age. And so I always had the feeling that people were looking at me snickering. You know, I honestly had that feeling.
Don Van Natta wears J's.
Who?
Don Van Natta.
Oh, right. That's true.
DVN.
I was told that.
There are some judgy people who will be looking at you and saying, what's that dude trying to be, but that's because they don't know anything about shoes. And mostly everybody will just look at your, if you're wearing nice ones, just look at your shoes and respect the fact that you're wearing dope shoes and not really judge the rest of the outfit. And so you don't have to worry about it. You just have to own. That's it.
That's true. I think I could get used to wearing them. Let's put it this way.
But wait, Dad, do you have any idea how much those shoes cost? Like, because once he figures out the numbers that these shoes, like, he's going to get out of this game real quick.
Yeah.
Right. No, I Googled Nike Air Max 97, and I think the retail, I don't know what Juju paid for them, but I think the retail is right around 170 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that lunch that you bought Juju doesn't exactly make up for the shoes, huh?
Well, it almost did. That's a hell of it.
Where'd you guys go?
Naked Taco.
We got our Naked Taco in South Beach. We each have two tacos, an order of fries. None of us were drinking. We all had a Diet Coke and water and all that. And it's like, with tip, it's like $130.
I mean, yeah.
Like, yeah, insane.
You probably, how many old shoes could you have bought for $130?
About $130. No, it was, I still made out like a bandit. I still profited, and I will be wearing those shoes. I'm really going to have to talk myself into it because we're going out to dinner with another couple.
Please wear them.
Well, this is the beauty of the shoe game, Greg, is you can find some shoes that aren't like outlandish, right? But when people who know shoes see them are like, wow, where'd you get those? How'd you get your hands on those? And they won't look like, you know, flaming red nachos. Like, they'll look,
right.
They'll look like maybe a white pair of tennis shoes, but there'll be a logo somewhere on there that is like special to that shoe. And they're just like, wow, that's really, so you won't look crazy. You'll just look like you have really good taste in shoes, yeah, or a really good shoe plug.
I have to say that red is a little bit showy for me.
Agreed.
And it's one of the reasons why I feel a little bit self-conscious wearing them. I honestly think if they were that same shoe in black, I would be much more likely to wear them, you know, with nice dress jeans and a nice shirt out to dinner or something. I'm gonna really have to talk myself into wearing red shoes.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it was a bit much for your vibe. But it was, you know, you go to that extreme and you just kind of get pulled back to the middle. But I think Juju wore that same shoe in like reflective gold when we went to Las Rosas with Mike and some of the Metal Arc people.
He was wearing those at lunch.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
He was wearing those at lunch. Those are sick.
Like, I have some gold shoes, but they don't look like those. And I'm pretty sure if you want, you can get the best of both worlds. You probably get some clear sneakers made so they can see your feet and recognize that you've got some dope shoes on.
Wow. How about gold plated sneakers?
Probably have to go to Dubai, but I think you can find them.
Oh, I bet you could.
Before we get you out of here, Izzy, last night, this is just, and I'm bringing this up just to show how cool I am that I get to hang out with Izzy Gutierrez. So we went to dinner recently, you and Anthony, me and my wife, and it was so much fun. We had a great time, but I feel like we don't get to do that a ton. Obviously during COVID, no one has, but just in general. And I feel like you and Anthony are more of social butterflies than my wife and I. So you probably have more experience in the game of like those kind of couples dinners. And I want you to assess me and Christy. How can we improve? How do we do? Like, be honest with me. Shoot me straight.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I tend to take notes about these things. Not like, you know, Adam Lefko notes, but I take notes, you know? And so
now I'm nervous.
No, that's fine. So when we got here and like, so Greg, and just so you know, I like entertaining, just, you know, I want people to experience it the way probably should. And so, yeah, you know, I had some espresso martinis ready, you know, already ready for them when they got here. And they arrived separately because Christy was coming from work and Chris was coming from home. And so...
Is that faux pas? Is that a faux pas, by the way?
No, it's very, like, it is very respectful that you would split up just to make the right time rather than, you know, call in late or, like, I think that's totally great. And the plan was to, you know, get on the boat and float up to a restaurant because Chris had never done that and wanted to be a bit of a badass. But the weather really wasn't cooperating. So we just kind of sat here and, like, so sat here and drank and talked. And so my one concern initially was going to be, well, is there going to be enough immediate conversation for the four of us? Because we're talking, what does Christy do again?
She works at a shoe company. She's like, yeah.
Okay. So we're talking Christy's shoe company, AJ or Anthony, real estate, Chris, you know, obviously Levitard, me at ESPN. And so I knew there's things that Chris and I want to talk about that maybe they wanted no part of and vice versa. And so it actually worked out perfectly in that we were far enough spaces where we can have separate conversations and not overlap. And I don't really know what they're talking about. And they didn't know what we were talking about. And then as we're sort of wrapping up in those, we sort of got back together as a four group conversation to assess the weather and decided, hey, we're going to drive. That part, it was very adult-like. It was very pleasant in our own home, you know.
Look at us.
Like the full grown-ups. And then at the restaurant, I was actually a little nervous about this because Anthony went a little bit long talking about work stuff. And, you know, it's like real estate stuff, but there was the hook because it's real estate stuff. And like, you know, Chris and Christy had bought a place, I don't know how long ago, but it hadn't been that long ago. And so there was like, you know, relatable conversation there. So that was good.
Sure.
I was also nervous because I picked the place and I knew there was a couple of things that they could definitely like on the menu. And
still thinking about that thing I ate, still thinking about that dish. Good God, man.
And just a little nugget that I thought was helpful is I never want to be the guy who requests the second bottle of wine. And so Christy,
my wife handled that for you.
Yes, perfectly. She probably noticed that I'd had a little bit more than everybody else and is like, do we want another one? I was like, yeah, of course. And so I honestly thought from beginning to end was like classic dinner double date situation and knocked it out of the park.
It was. It was our first one though. Oh. It was our first one. So we had to hit out like how we like met each other. We had to like hit the basics, the notes of a first hangout.
Yeah. And the follow-up had a great time text. That's perfect. Great. It was well
I'm
done.
A big
wow. 10 out of 10 for them. Yeah. So there's really not much. I would say maybe 9.8 out of 10 because there was a bit of a nerves coming emanating from Chris a little bit, I would say. But once those nerves got died down, it was all in the clear.
I needed that. Thank you. Thank you.
Really?
I got a question for you, though. Where do you decide to wear a hat and when do you decide not to? Is it like a recognized thing? Do you recognize more with the hat than without? Like, how does that work?
Well, just like a restaurant, like, you know, like I figured we're going to like a semi nice place. Like if it's a sports bar, a hat can work, but like a restaurant, like at a dinner, restaurant and dinner, I tend to lean away from the hat.
And that like that requires effort. Like you got to do your hair, right?
I feel like this is really just Izzy commenting on my hairline. Like what this is all about.
I didn't realize, I don't think I've hung out with you where you didn't have a hat on, maybe at one of the Mosses, but it was dark and I couldn't really tell. Yeah. And I was like, without like staring at your head, I was just like, well, you put some effort into your hair. And like, I used to hate doing that. That's why I cut my hair short again. And so I was just, I would go with a hat everywhere if I were you.
No, I hate doing that. Yeah. I hate doing that. Yeah.
Well, next time you don't have to. It doesn't matter what restaurant.
No, it had nothing that I do. It's more my wife, honestly. She'll like be like, really? Like, no, can you put jeans on and like do like, can you like put a little effort? Like that's basically like the vibe I get from her when I don't do stuff like that.
I'll type one more note for you.
Yeah.
Knowing just when and at what volume to talk over somebody when you have something to say. Mm. Because good God, have I been at a lot of annoying dinners where it's either one or two people that just decide whenever they have something to say, they're not stopping. And so you guys had that perfect amount of volume and interjection.
Yeah. I felt like the pie chart of words spoken was a good mix. I don't feel like there was anybody really sitting there quiet.
I was a little nervous at first. I thought Anthony would dominate the conversation because he had been a little worked up because he had just gotten basically home from work as well. So no, it worked out great.
The funny thing is, this is me and Christy, we did have like a little pregame meeting about like, let's game plan here. And the game plan was don't talk about your kid. The whole like we were like, we don't want to be the people that are just talking about our kids. And Christy was like, let's try to not talk about work, only work. And I think that was her kind of at me and you kind of like, can we just not make this like an ESPN like sports conversation the entire time?
Yeah. And I had gone to the bar with Mike and some other Meadowlark folks down in Miami, and immediately like Anthony was not involved in any of those conversations. So it's just like ended up in a different sort of section of the group talking. So I knew we couldn't make that happen again. I got a work question for you though, Greg. Segue. the Floyd and Logan Paul fight.
Yeah.
It's in your backyard. Is that something you're interested in? Is that something you're going to be at? Are you avoiding it like the plague because it's just too youthful? What's going on?
Can I jump in first and say that I've already applied for a credential for that?
Well, of course. Yeah.
Of course you have.
Let me jump in and say that Chris has also already asked me if I had a connection for free tickets, which I do not. But
and then once you didn't, that's when I asked my dad. Once he didn't, then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go as a credentialed member.
Right. I too have been asked. I am interested in it as a spectacle, as a farce, certainly not as a fight. I mean, Logan Paul isn't even the best fighter in his own family. And what is Floyd? Now, I know this is not an official fight. So even if Floyd Mayweather loses, he's still retired at 50-0. Mm-hmm. But why on earth is Floyd Mayweather lowering himself to fight a guy who has one career fight and is an internet creation?
Cha-ching, cha-ching,
people are going to watch. And it's not even like it's not even Floyd that people want to watch. It's Logan. And so he is just coming in as a secondary, basically the money. Like, he's what creates the money,
right?
And just collects and goes. Like, it was embarrassing how phony his little thing with, what was he faced with? It was Jake he faced off with, right? Not Logan.
Yeah. Jake knocked off his hat.
No, they did their press conference with Logan. And then afterwards in the media scrum, Jake, of course, had to make it all about him and like walked up to
yeah.
And that's where that
all seems stupid. It all seemed crazy contrived. And it was just like embarrassing for Floyd. But I would do that for 8 figures. I mean, I'd do that for 6 probably, but I would definitely do that for 8 figures.
And I would do it for like $800.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, he still has to get in there and perform. Like, he can't, you know, get off the lazy boy and all of a sudden be like, let me collect these 8 figures. Like, these guys want to beat his ass, and he's actually still got to be pretty decent. Like, not, you know, a 9 out of 10 decent for his, but like a 5 out of 10 for his standard.
I mean, Logan Paul is a lot bigger than him. He's going to lose. He's going to, like, Floyd's going to win. I'm not saying that, but the size difference does make it at least like, I mean, I guess if he catches him, maybe.
I tell you, the other thing that I think people are looking for is to actually see Floyd knock somebody out, even if at this level, you know, at this point of his career, like, you never really saw that. And so if he gets to knock somebody out and it's a YouTube star that, you know, half the people love, half the people hate, then I think that's enough to get people to buy it. But I want to put you in that setting, though. Like, I want, like, you in between the fights, like, there's these concerts and all this craziness going on. Like, I'm trying to figure out where you would, like, go and how you would cover this.
Wearing your red shoes.
I might wear my red shoes to that fight, as a matter of fact. But let me ask you this, because I hate everything about the idea of the Pauls and them riding the internet
to- and grow and bringing attention to the sport and like getting a younger audience that doesn't care. What a bunch of jerks they are.
But is it good attention?
Why isn't it good attention? I mean, it's a spectacle.
Right.
So I think it's a different audience, Greg. Like, I don't think, and I know it is, frankly, but I don't think you've got like boxing purists who will just not enjoy it and think that it's harming the sport. But if you have, you know, if you put together 2 elite fighters right now, actual boxers, and drum it up and make it a big, you know, pay-per-view event, you're still going to get tons of viewers. It's not going to be the spectacle, right? You're still going to get tons of viewers, the ones that are probably right now complaining about this other stuff, but they'll still create a box office for that. So, you know, you'll have one complaining about the other saying it's boring, and you'll have the other one saying, hey, they're not real fighters, it's a spectacle. It doesn't matter. There's enough people that can watch both. So I don't think it harms it. I think it definitely helps the Pauls. Like, it's brought, I had no idea who the hell they were. And it's definitely brought them a greater audience and more people just understanding the idea that you can make money off of fame and, you know, the internet and everything else. And so I don't think it's bad necessarily. I don't think there's anything that's been happening on there where you're just like, this is shameful. You probably don't want your kids on there explaining, you know, hey, why, what are they smoking? What's going on over there? But that's why it's a late night pay-per-view event. And, you know, so I don't think it's harmful for the sport.
When I imagine that the vast majority of the country is looking for Floyd Mayweather to absolutely kick the shit out of Logan Paul, do you think I'm wrong?
That is the story here. If I would have said to you a year ago, who can we put against Floyd Mayweather where he will seem likable and you will be just avidly rooting for him? The Pauls have done it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that is the appeal. I think it is. You know, there's the crazy appeal that what if he actually gives Floyd Mayweather a fight or beats him? Not going to happen, you know, unless Floyd is on something. But I think the other side of that is just as appealing. It's like, all right, if I don't get the crazy outcome, at least I'll get the satisfying outcome and get to, you know, see dude knocked out, or just actually see what it looks like for Floyd to knock somebody out.
Yeah. Wow. That's going to be weird. I think I am going to try to go to that now that you mentioned it. When is it? June 6th, right?
Yeah,
I think so. Chris, I think you should just go follow your dad with a camera the entire time.
Just a couple of Codys. Just a couple of Codys covering a boxing match. Will that be emotional for you, Dad, me and you covering something together?
It will. We've never covered an event together, have we?
No, we did. We like weren't we at something All-Star Game related together? Like
oh, we were. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the Marlins hosted the All-Star Game a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
When can we get a golf foursome?
Oh, I would love that. You know, Stu Gotz was talking about that the other day as well.
Notice I said four. I didn't say six like last time. I don't trust Stu Gotz in the planning. So
I know, and I hate sixums, to be honest.
If we could get a foursome, then we'll maybe see if Stu Gotz could hook it up at his place. But we got to get the people and the date together.
No, let's play.
We'll have to like cross teams. Like I'll have to play with Chris and you play with Anthony, Greg. So that gives me a chance to do something.
like you or Anthony are better. I can't remember.
Anthony's way better than me. I'm a little better than I was when we played. When we played, I maybe played like three times or whatever. So I you can, you know.
Dad, that's why he put himself with me. I mean, do the math.
Well, and I think, you know, Anthony's pretty good, but very good. But he's like, doesn't play regularly, so he can be a little streaky. So I hear Chris probably plays a little more.
Wow. Right. Yeah. And you got to be better than me, right?
No. I mean, I've probably been golfing like 15 times in my life, maybe.
Izzy, don't be offended by the fact that my dad played around with you and has like no recollection of your game at all.
I do, but I don't know whether I saw him at his best, whether he was nervous.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of golfers out there.
You have no clue. I think you would believe right now if we were like, Izzy was like the second best guy out, the best out there after me. You'd be like, yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember how I played that day. Do you?
I remember you not doing anything memorable one way or the other. I remember Chris, you know, bombing drives. I remember Anthony being pretty good. I remember Mike with the greatest shot of all time. And then Stu Gotz looking like he was in severe pain every step that he took. Those are the things I remember. Right.
By the way, that's the story of my life, is he not doing anything memorable either way.
Does Cody still work here? Yeah.
All right. That'll wrap it. We'll put a bow on it. Thanks, as always, Iz.
All right. Hey, shoot the text. Let me know when you guys want to play.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Izzy, that was fun as always. Friend, thank you for joining the podcast. And now, boy, this is big. Because, you know, the Mount Gregmore franchise is my own. And in the long history of this podcast, I've done it every time except one. Christopher did Mount Gregmore once. Spectacular failure.
Damn good Mount Gregmore, if I can.
It was a spectacular failure. And I took it back. And now Yeti Blanc is doing it. And I have to say, the pressure in this Zoom is palpable. You can almost cut it with a knife.
Do you think he put more work into it than I did? The one that I was.
Oh, no doubt. If he put 10 seconds work into it, he outworked you. But at any rate, hey, do great, Yeti. Go.
I do have to say that I do feel the pressure, because I've got a feeling that if I do well enough on this Mount Gregmore, that I might get a shot at getting written into the will and maybe get, you know, take a stab at the Mrs. Pac-Man
back off,
machine.
Yeti.
You know,
back off.
All right, yes, gentlemen, it is my turn to step onto the stage with my first ever installment of the infamous Mount Gregmore. And to celebrate, this week's Mount Gregmore will be about some of this Greg's favorite firsts. So let's start in classic Mount Gregmore fashion with honorable mention. My first college football game, 1996, number 2 Florida State takes out number 1 Florida, 24-21. The crowd went wild, including my late father, who was, at my estimate, 6 feet tall, 450 pounds, whom we found running off the field with a 2-foot chunk of sod in his arms, yelling for us to get a bag.
Where was this game?
Doak Campbell Stadium, Chris. It was Warwick Dunn Senior Night, and it was incredible. Number 5. To set the stage, it was 1993, UNC defeating Michigan in the NCAA Men's Basketball National Championship game, with the help of an errant timeout call by Chris Webber. This would be the first UNC championship that I was able to witness, and it secured my love for Tar Heel basketball for eternity.
This is very on brand for Mount Gregmore, just a very self-involved segment.
Number four. My first kiss. It was April 1994 in a 13-year-old and a 13-year-old Yeti and a 13-year-old Yeti knew he was about to try and smooch his first girlfriend for the first time. Nervous about his breath but lacking any gum, he grabbed an entire jumbo bag of Family Dollar brand mentholiptus flavored cough drops and proceeded to make himself sick after eating no less than 50. Undeterred by his idiocy, both Yeti and his girlfriend shared their first kiss that afternoon in the annex hallway of Mount Airy Junior High. It was awkward, wow. But nice. But also not nice enough to keep her from dumping him for Jeff Slowick a month later. But that's a story for another day.
Are we talking in the third person now?
We were for that one.
There's no shot, Dad, that you remember your first kiss.
Do you, Greg?
Actually, I do.
Tell us.
I do.
Baby.
I was of a similar age. We were at like a middle... I think back then it was called junior high school. We were in a middle school... junior high school pool party at a friend's house.
Mm. And you started playing Strat-O-Matic baseball. She was so moved that she just...
I'm not going to give the girl's name in case she's listening. All my ex-girlfriends listen to the podcast. But I can tell you that I remember the song playing when I had that kiss. It was,
really?
It was Doris Day.
On my life, I swear. It was a song called Red Rubber Ball by a group called The Circle, spelled C-Y-R-K-L-E.
My red rubber ball. Sorry, I just stepped all over you, Greg. I am so sorry.
That's sort of it. You know the song, Yeti?
I know the song. Yeah, I'm an old soul.
There you
man.
Go. Are we allowed to play a snip of it without getting sued?
You know, it would have been better if you didn't just ask about getting sued. And we just kind of
okay, well, take out me asking that and just slip in 10 seconds of it. And then back to Mount Gregmore.
I'd rather hear you sing a little bit of it.
Go for it, Greg.
I'm trying to think of the word now. Da 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 da. I bid you farewell. A lot to be learned from this, and I learned it very well.
Red rubber ball. All right, number three. The first time I held each of my children. Nary a thing rivals the feeling of perfection when holding your child for the first time. A feeling that's quickly replaced by the fear of, good hell, what have I done? You mean I'm being trusted with another human life? Followed by a life of stress and paranoia while trying to keep these beautiful little suicide machines alive and raising them to be, at minimum, functional human beings.
I don't believe you. I think you enjoyed holding your first child the best.
No comment. Number two. I'll spare the audience the details and summarize this one with a baby.
That's number two. That's number two.
And number one, to end my first ever Mount Gregmore, my number one favorite thing would be the first time I appeared on the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Oh, nice. Wow. Pandering it.
There we go. That's my first Mount Gregmore, folks.
Yes. That's good beautiful. Job, Yeti. Good job.
Good job. It's a beautiful thing.
What's it like, Dad, being on the other end of a Mount Gregmore where someone actually puts effort into it?
You know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking. It sort of reminds me of I'm a bad guy in a car when I'm not driving. You know, when I'm in the passenger seat, I tend to be a backseat driver.
Are you backseat Mount Gregmoring this segment? Like, what's happening?
You're
right
producing
now?
Me, Greg?
No, I'm just saying it's nervous because that's my baby. That's my infant who I'm hugging.
It's like it's like Yeti just babe-ed with your wife.
Whoa.
Well,
whoa.
Did I make this weird?
Yeah, let's not quite make that leap.
I mean, it was already made weird earlier this week when in a group text with the three of us, Yeti sent a picture of his wife that happens to look just like my mom, basically saying, Chris, am I your father?
Yeah, that's true. It could be.
Maybe
it
these
could
like
be, although Yeti would have had you when he was about six.
I think when you two, I think when you two have these moments, maybe you guys should get on your own text string and leave me out of it. I don't need this like awkward game of like, oh, is that my mom? Who's my mom? Who's my dad?
Where were Who's I? Where daddy? Was I in the summer of 1985?
Well, anyway, let's dismount now by saying, well, it's not award winning yet. Let's see how the judges rule, but. It could be an award-winning Mount Gregmore.
Wait, but you're always so sure that it's award-winning right after you do it. Why is this one not? Why are you not sure about this one?
Well, the votes have always come in instantly when I do it for some reason. You know, it's like in Olympic gymnastics when the judges all raise their cards 10, 9.5. the votes haven't come in yet, but I say this pot, this Mount Gregmore has a chance to be award winning. So thank you, Yeti. And thank you, podcast family.
I just want to jump in and let you know that the Olympic judges of the gymnastics have not lifted cards with their scores on it since about 1982.
They're also just called judges, Chris.
That's a fair point. You're right. It's all electronic now. Bring back the cards. Hey, people, listen, rate, review.
Follow.
And follow. Don't subscribe. Right. Follow. Then unfollow, follow again. Do that 40 or 50 times. It's fun. God, it's fun. Anyway, thanks, everybody. We'll see you again next week.
I can't believe I said, what did I call them?
Judges of gymnastics.
Oh,
God. Otherwise known as gymnastics judges.
There's nothing worse than trying to make someone look dumb and then sounding dumb in that process.